Welcome to the New York Times podcast. You're acting a smoochy of music, news, and criticism. I am your host, John Caramonica. He said I'm good enough. Got my third. Think about what I should enough. So I tell him it's one of me. He making fun of me. His girl is a bum to me. Like that boy is a cap. Saying he home, but I know where he at. Like, but he blowing her back. Think about me because he know that it's fat. Wow, I do be in my mood. Ice Spice, 6 months ago, none of y'all knew about Ice Spice. Y'all didn't know about Ice Spice 6 months ago. And yet here we are. Ice Spice has, along with Think Pantherist, one of the top five songs in the country right now, a rapid ascent that reflects a lot of things. The spread of drill into the pop ecosystem, the rise of a generation of female rappers who are not hemmed in by the same structural issues that were in place in the 90s and the 2000s. The TikTok meme economy and how easily things can spread there. And also just good old fashioned charisma and celebrity power and talent. So we're going to talk about Ice Spice today. We're going to talk about everything from Munch and actually pre-Munch all the way up to the current moment. I'm here with my baddie friend. It's Jeffy Hauser from Rolling Stone. Jeff.
Baddie friend. I love that.
What's that? Correct. I mean, actually, to be frank, if you were not a baddie, I just very simply would not have said that.
You know, Times readers might not know this, but no.
Yeah. But they know now. It's what's crucial is by the end of this episode, there will be no dispute about your baddie qualities. Jeff, let's start in the present moment, right? Boy's a Liar Part 2. So this is a collaboration with Pink Pantherist. This is a remix of a Pink Pantherist song, which when I interviewed Ice Spice earlier this year, like right at the beginning of the year, just before her EP came out, this was something that they had just decided to do. I think she played for me in the car, like the first demo of the recording of the verse on this song. The video was shot very quickly thereafter. And I was really struck by a couple things. One, here's two sort of stars, children of the internet from totally different worlds, but who, because of the way things work right now, we're just able to find each other directly, no label nonsense, and be like, we're going to make something together. But also on a musical level, and this is maybe the second question, if you think about the tempo of what Pink Pantherist had been doing prior to this song, you know, the type of songs that she liked to sample, the genres that she was interested in. She was doing a lot of up-tempo type records, even though in a dreamy way. Ice Spice doing pop versions of drill records, which are also very up-tempo. I was really struck by how neatly they fit together on one song because they both fundamentally work in up-tempo music. So it didn't feel like a clash to have them, even though they come from different musical styles. But maybe let's just talk about the internet native thing. Again, starts with DMs, ends up in the top five of the Billboard Hot 100 in like 2 months. Is this the future?
I mean, I hope some version of it. I think when people talk about this sort of thing, we tend to like hone in on the platform. So then it becomes a story about TikTok, or if it was SoundCloud rap a few years ago, it's about SoundCloud or this or that.
R.I.P.
Yeah, truly. But I think what's really going on is like, it's kind of the same thing that's always happened with collaboration in music where, you know, one person catches wind of a sound or an idea that they're really into and finds a way to meet that person. And so, like, you know, you look at the ecosystem of TikTok that both Pink Pantherist and Ice Spice sort of arrived on. And it's like, you know, I remember when I first started seeing Ice Spice videos, the first month of like the meme's trajectory last like late summer, fall was hated. It was like totally hating on it. Like the whole joke was like all dudes like being like, this sucks. Like she's only like popular because her body, blah, blah, blah. To the point where like I was sitting there thinking like, I do like this song, but I wonder if people are just going to like hate this. Like they're going to do her like they've done so many people in the past, you know?
And was this off of Munch or was this pre-Munch?
Well, it was Munch blew up and then people found No Clarity.
No Clarity.
And it's like they tried to take shots at her with No Clarity, but then that ends up being another bop. You know what I mean? It's like the idea for the, it's like nobody wanted this girl to win at first, but I think the people who got it are the kind of the same kind of people who get Pink Panthers, who understood Pink Panthers when she was doing her thing, which is like, there's the version of yourself on the internet that's hyper aware of everything you're supposed to be doing, where it's like, I'm supposed to be like this kind of rapper. I'm supposed to look like this. I'm supposed to say these things. And then there's a version of, like authenticity that cuts through that, I think. Like, I think immediately the spice cabinet, as they're now called, like they knew who they were immediately.
A little unwieldy. If we're just going to be just a quick sidebar on stand name group, same group names.
I think that's the best one.
I don't know. Spice cabinet, spice rack, munchkins. I like munchkins personally. Munchkins
works. Yeah.
Munchkins is really good. I will say spice cabinets, kind of unwieldy. Might make for some good merch, but it's a tiny bit. It doesn't totally roll off the tongue. But just throwing that out there. Do with that information what you will. Munchkins. But I think that that's correct. And also it's notable that you said it's a bunch of dudes saying this is no good, right? Cause like on the internet, there are things that young men love to do. And one of those things is argue. And another one of those things is unfortunately be dismissive of the creative output of women. So that is not a great recipe for releasing a cultural product into the maw of the internet. That's not great.
You know, a story I'm waiting to see is Ice Spice arrived kind of the same summer as Andrew Tate.
I knew it.
You know, we've got 7 Andrew Tate stories in the media this week, but like, and that's why I think her videos kind of got the response that they did, because TikTok at that moment in time was like saturated with like, men have to do everything. It's so easy if you're a woman. Everybody just wants to have sex with you. Like, you do whatever. So, like, I feel like Ice Spice played into this narrative that they had constructed and then, in a way, kind of, like, blew it up. And, like, if anything, Ice Spice saved TikTok.
Very much so.
Because Andrew Tate, like, that's so over by now, but I feel like we're catching up to it now in this, like, mainstream sense. But, like, we're in the Ice Spice era of TikTok.
100%. I mean, I literally... You cannot have your first 5 videos not include at least one Ice Spice meme video, like on the algo page. It's just not possible, and it hasn't been possible for weeks at this point. What is it that you think has become so snackable about Ice Spice music? I have some theories. Maybe this is a good opportunity. Let's listen to Princess Diana, which is off of the recent Ice Spice EP. Like? Question mark? Here's Princess Diana. I'm thick cause I beat in oats. Not take shit from me but notes. Wanna be me so she do my emotes and my name in her mouth, so I bet she gon' choke. Tell her man I'm the girl of his dreams. Think about me when he brushing his teeth. He keeps texting, I leave him on scene. Hottest down, they know what I mean. Like, keep it a stack. Move out cause they know I got beans. They be chatting, I don't give a d- but I'm still. What about this is so eminently memeable in your mind?
So I talked to Ice Spice shortly after, I think, the initial like TikTok fame. So this was in October of last year, which is like a funny thing because, like, you know, a print story fell through and then it was a quick thing that happened and then it ended up being her first print story, which, you know, kudos. But, you know, something she talked about then, you know, and I'm asking her about, you know, just her whole style of rapping and how just laid back. And it's beyond confident to me because it's like there's so much within hip hop that's like so pressured around, don't sound silly, don't sound like you don't know what you're ready to say, like you have to be prepared. And like she kind of eviscerates that with just being like, I don't care, I'm just chilling and I have a personality. So I think a song like Princess Diana, where she's got people on the internet kind of comparing her to Princess Diana, and it kind of sets off like a quick, you know, just a few funny jokes that would land in a text, and she like kind of just delivers it in that way. It's like she doesn't take it any further than it has to go.
Right. She's not like doing like a super high concept. The video is not going to have her in like a tiara and like a long, yeah, like, you know, she's not like recreating iconic Princess Diana photos. Shout out to Rachel. Like, she's not doing anything like that. Like, she just, and also, you know, one thing about people who are really, really good at the internet, and this is like very much Drake territory, which is you find ways to either subtly or overtly weaponize negative things that people say about you, right, or things that people kind of poke at you at. And like, let's just like unpack the Princess Diana thing, right? Like, it started, if I'm not mistaken, a little bit before November last year. And then when she and Lil TJ giving out turkeys in the Bronx around Thanksgiving, you know, you see tweets like, damn, she really is Princess Diana, yada, yada, yada. She's the people's princess. No, like, obviously, like, this is some combination of very, very enthusiastic young people looking for any reference point combined with a little bit like, we're going to compare this person who nobody knows to one of the most famous people on the planet. It's like a little bit of a slight sort of hiding underneath.
It's the Migos are better than the Beatles of our moment.
Right. And so rather than, I assume, going and sitting in a meeting and be like, what are we going to do about the fact that people are comparing you falsely to Princess Diana? Like, she just sort of said, okay. Like, that sounds cool. I'll just rock with that. Make a song and I'll just make it a song. Like, why not? Lean into the moment. And I think that's like such advanced expert use of the potentially fraught discourse on the internet.
Well, I feel like with her too, it's like so much of it is so natural because I feel like she's also relatively young compared to, I mean, in hip hop now, it's like 14 is young, but you know, she's of this era. And, you know, one of the things that struck me about when I was talking to her was just how familiar it felt talking to this person, even though, you know, it was a phone call. But, you know, at one point when we're talking about the song Munch and like how she came up with it, the way she described it, where she's like, I don't know, it was just like, he's a munch. I'm like, of course, that's how you say it. Like, like, there's no more to it than that. That's it. It's you're from the where you're from. And you're around what you're around, and you're trying to think of a word to call somebody. I don't know. Everything about her whole personality feels very much like a person you know. She went to like the regular New York State school. So it's like a famous person from New York,
SUNY Purchase,
not from NYU or anything. Grew up in the Bronx and named her debut EP like.
Like, it's just great. It's all incredible. It's all you could have 1,000 focus groups and still not come up with something as good as like.
Somehow, like, she's able to not have to listen to anyone. And I think that's what's really cool.
Let's go back to Munch. We opened with Boy's a Liar, Part 2, which is the current hit. Let's go back to Munch, which is the breakover moment. So this is Munch, Feeling You.
I'm a baddie, I get what I please. You know my body, I do it with ease. He want my body, he telling me please. I'm walking past me, sniffing my breeze. He jacking me, but he not my boo. He like the jewelry I wear on my boobs. How can I link you when I got a shoe? Don't want your love, I just want the blue. Grabbing my while I'm doing my dance. She keep on staring cause shorty a fan. Damn, gotta stick to the plan. He met us, I won't give him a chance.
So I have like a very vivid memory of hearing this song for the first time. And this comes immediately after the Drake moment, right? Like, Drake DMs Ice Spice and says, I really like No Clarity. I really like this other freestyle that you did. We're going to play it on OVO Radio. And then, like, within a couple days, she's like on a plane to OVO Fest, her first time out of the country, you know, her and her manager. Drake sends a plane for them or whatever a rich person does. I don't know. But during that run, that's when the teaser for Munch comes out. So it's like all of a sudden we have somewhere to orient this attention, right? Like, she's, you don't know. It's like, is this the only time you're going to get attention? Is this the moment? Is this your peak moment? Okay, if so, lean into it and try to extract all you can from it. So like the teaser of Munch comes out and then the video for Munch comes out. I was blessed enough to go to Munch Park in the Bronx, where the video was filmed. Also, did you see that thing that came out on, I guess I saw it on Twitter. I don't know where else it was. Maybe like a couple weeks ago, which is the footage behind the scenes of her getting onto the basket. Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. It's like we're already in the like behind the music era of Ice Spice Munch 7 months after the song came out. It's like we're already leaking all the lost tapes. But when this song came out, it accomplished a couple of things really, really well. One, we have to talk about Riot USA, who went to school with Ice Spice and produced basically all of these records that we're talking about. Not Boy's a Liar, but like produced all of her records.
Yeah, not enough has been made of that guy.
And not enough has been made of the fact that his father is DJ Enough.
We're all lacking.
Actually. So, number one, he's very gifted. And he's gifted because what he has done is take Bronx drill as kind of a template, soften the edges, giving it a little bit more pop texture, but maintain the fundamental tempo and tension of it. And that's doing something which is allowing Ice Spice to basically still be in a conversation loosely with what's happening in the rest of the scene while explicitly making a jump towards a different audience who maybe don't know about Bronx drill. I think when I interviewed Nicole from Talk of the Town, the drill page for my story, I think she called it sexy drill or something. And it's like, you listen to a lot of drill, it's one thing, it's not, it's sexy. It's not sexy.
Yeah.
Man, you know, male rappers, female rappers, whoever, it's not sexy. This is the first person to really lean into that and find success with this kind of parallel template.
It goes back to your point about the Pink Panther song and how this might be probably the biggest song of the year, is how, you know, it meshes so perfectly with dance music. And, you know, Pink Panther's is coming from this UK perspective, and her music experiments with UK garage and drum and bass. And so now you're at this new BPM range that's in the 130s, 140s, 150s. And, you know, you're someone, a producer like Riot, who has, you know, a rhythmic head on his shoulders. It's not a big leap to get from where you typically are in the, you know, Bronx drill track to get to that sort of dancey sound, that like more euphoric vibe. And then you've got someone like Ice Spice, and it's like, you know, you need the right vocalist to take it there, because I think you do get on every one of these guys, you know, EPs, you get their attempt at like a sexy love ballad, and it doesn't quite hit. So you also need that like patient, slow sort of rhythm that Ice Spice brings to it. I think the chemistry between her and Riot is something we haven't seen in hip hop or pop music really in a really long time. Like, I think that's why it feels so refreshing, is like it's reminiscent of, trying to think of the famous duos out there, like the Neptunes or something, you know, where it's just a sound that's so specific to the people who are in it.
And also what I like, look, we can talk sort of endlessly about the way in which the internet and social media always completely denatures things that are scene specific, right? Like, if something is a regional sound or a regional idea, the minute it goes on TikTok, it ceases to be that. And I often think of that as a liability. I often think about, damn, you know, like, things don't get a chance to really develop locally. They don't get a chance to be cultivated before everybody kind of gets to take a look at it. The walls, you know, you used to have to like fight a lot harder to be able to see what was happening all over the country and all over the world and to hear all these different styles. But the way that Ice Spice and Riot think about drill feels to me to be fundamentally informed by that enhanced visibility. We know it's not going to be local. We know it, like, maybe 12 months prior, it was local, but now it's not local anymore, and it's going to travel. So why don't we think about making music in ways that really travel? One thing I didn't write about in the Ice Spice profile, but I've been thinking a lot about in the last few weeks, especially on TikTok, about why snippets of Ice Spice vocals are so transmittable. And obviously it's the writing, but there's something about her syllables. She uses a lot of single syllable words. And I don't mean that as a shot. Like, I know that sounds like a shot, especially, you know, for rap fans of a certain generation who are just like, no, you gotta rhyme seven syllables in a row. You know, like I lived through that. Like, I'm allowed to say this. Like, I lived through that. Damn. And now I'm living through this.
I lived through that. It's crazy.
Yeah. I'm crazy for that one. It's true. It is also factual. So if you're using monosyllabic words, the way that those words punch can be really strong. And also they make it so easy for people who are approaching a song for the first time to find their way into the song, because there's very little that's going to be like, oh, how hard is it to rap along to that word? Or how challenging is it to have that sentence be a sentence that could potentially come out of my mouth if I'm rapping along to it? The fact that she uses short, punchy words and short, punchy phrases is absolutely perfectly attuned to the ecosystem in which she lives, which is primarily, in this moment, TikTok and eventually the radio. But right now, TikTok.
You know, one of the things she told me in that interview was like, you know, I just try to be as clear as possible. Even in an answer like that, it's almost so simple, but it's like, I think that's how a lot of people growing up right now tend to think. I think we, you know, to your point about sort of, you know, making this Bronx drill sound and knowing that it's going to be global, I think, you know, people of a certain age right now have no expectation of, you know, them existing in some sort of like backyard or like basement vibe. I think everyone's mentality is like, if this is good, I might be on, you know, Jimmy Fallon this weekend. So you know, it's interesting to see. And I think
the
you know,
Lola Brooke phenomenon, yeah, like just as a sidebar, yeah, like the Lola, like when I went to the SZA show last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, like right before the show, the DJ is basically just playing like nonstop TikTok female rap hits. And when they played Ice Spice, obviously everybody's rapping along. And I was like, oh, of course, you know, SZA crowd, like, sure, everybody knows the Ice Spice song. Then they started playing Lola Brooke. And I was like, I kind of wonder how this is going to go. And everybody lost their minds. They lost their minds. And I was like, this is like if a Rod Digga song was the most popular song in the country, like 2003. Like, it's unfathomable. And yet, here we are. Anyway, sorry. Speaking of just like punchy things on TikTok.
And it reminds me a lot of Pink Panthers too, because when she came out, I think a lot of people in the sort of drum and bass world were very suspicious and tend to remain suspicious. And I remember one of the things I first saw was like an interview she did in like Days or some UK magazine when she was still very mysterious. And she's like name checking all these things that she sampled. And she's like, at no point did I try to pass this off as my own. I think everyone should go find these tracks and listen to them because they're cool. And like, I think that's like, that to me was like the Pandora's box of like understanding where things are going. It's like all of our notions of the sort of preciousness around, oh, this is this sound or this is this scene or this is this thing. I think that's like very clearly being left behind for a much more immediate sense of I'm hearing Ice Spice words and I trust her because I feel that connection. It's like, as much as it's online, it feels more human than ever.
What I always thought was fascinating about the early Pink Panthers records, and I think this has evolved as she's gotten more popular and obviously has more resources and isn't just sort of like making songs in her bedroom kind of as a hobby to procrastinate schoolwork. But like, they always felt like songs about songs or songs about listening to songs, like not necessarily in the lyrical content, but in the structural approach. And what's more relatable than listening to a song and trying to find yourself in it? And Pink Pantherist literally would be like listening to a song, sing over it, and then be like, I'm going to release this. How is that different from someone on TikTok rapping along to an Ice Spice lyric or to a Lola Brooke lyric or to anything else? The only real fundamental differences there are, one, Pink Pantherist can sing, and a lot of these people are lip syncing. You know, but two, she just chose to release those records. And it's not that crazy of a leap for people in the TikTok world. Maybe they will find their way and like sing over an Ice Spice song. And then someone, you know, I used to call it the diminishing rate of nostalgia. It's like you used to have to sample something that was like 40 years old and then it was like 20. And now it's like you could sample something that came out like 6 weeks ago. The Central Cee Pink Pantherist issue, right, you know, it's like, right, it's like everything's just a dub remix at this point.
You know, I think a bigger part of that is the writing. Cause I think, you know, to your point about Pink Pantherist and, you know, a lot of these newer artists coming up, I think it's like, it's a combination of they pick the song that I think people might generally associate with something particularly emotional. So it's like, if you're a kid right now, there's so much just information and so much content out there. It's like breakups are associated with like this, you know, roster of songs or this playlist or whatever. And so it's like the first level is you're going onto the sad playlist to find a, you know, old whatever song. And then you're, you know, rapping or doing whatever over it in a way that is deeply vulnerable and just open. I think the biggest thing that stood out about Pink Panthers and Ice Spice, you know, if you look at a song like No Clarity, is like the sort of confidence in which she's giving a verse about getting like done dirty, you know, and being kind of like in a messy situation in a relationship. And I think those are the things that I think are really big for people right now, where it's like, I could care less about your association to the lineage of hip hop or the lineage of dance music or the lineage of whatever the fuck you're talking about. Are you saying something that's real to me? And I think that's where a lot of these artists that we're seeing now and like the speed with which they become so big, that I think that's a big piece of it, is like, it means a lot to like a 19-year-old to like kind of be spoken to in the way that like kind of hits that way. And I feel like it's been a long time since kids have had that.
Let's listen to No Clarity, because I think that's a great compliment to the Pink Panthers conversations. This is No Clarity, which is a version of Zed's Clarity. And this came out before Munch.
You did me dirt, cause what did I do? Like, I'm playing a bro. Like, I cannot choose no love in a smooth. I am the one, so how can I lose? Like, spring on that like a hammock. I'm doing me, she cannot stand it. You see me in person, a
in panic. Damn. He knows that I'm bad and I'm rude.
This is also a drill phenomenon, right, too? Like, it's not simply Pink Panther is rapping over old drum and bass records or like pop garage records. This is a drill thing of like, let's just find a hit of any era of any genre and just absolutely spaz out over it. Last year, I wrote a piece at the end of the year about the year of very obvious samples in terms of how that was functioning in the pop space. But sample drill, Cash Cobain, folks like that, was moving incredibly quickly 2-3 years ago, just kind of like grabbing any raw material. Like, what's the easiest thing we can do? Grab a song that exists already, throw the drums on top of it, and have somebody absolutely go crazy over it. That also feels very internet-y in the way that we're talking about Pink Panther is feeling very internet-y. It reminds me, I saw you posted, I think you posted on your IG story, the thing, the ADHD thing with the mic freestyle.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny, like those ADHD remixes, visual remixes, where it's like three things happening all at once. That's kind of how those drill records feel to me. Where it's like, oh, it's a Mary J. Blige song. I love this Mary J. Blige song. Oh, no, it's a drill record. No, I'm sorry. Oh, no, he's spazzing. And it's like, you have to like somehow have three different ears open at the same time to really be absorbing the whole thing. Anyway, that's what those drill records sound like to me. They sound like the act of listening combined with the act of rapping combined with the act of watching someone rap.
I mean, it does make me think of how many hours I spend watching TikTok sometimes. And I wonder about, God, if I was 14, 15, 16 years old right now, it would be unbelievable just how much like visual and audio information I would just be flooding myself with all day. Just nuts. So in one way, it makes so much sense that kids these days would have that sensibility of like, you know, because even as you say, it's like, I think these sample drill producers are picking samples with not total like reckless abandon, even though it might not be like completely the most planned out thing. But like, you know, it's like that horrible Naughty Bop song where it's like it's a sample of like a kid's cartoon and it's about a kid, you know, getting murdered. So there's layers to everything that's going on that I think like you have to have just like 10,000 hours of TikTok in your brain to understand.
Yeah. Malcolm Gladwell of the streets. Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's go to a break really quickly. Let's listen to Bikini Bottom, which is also on the Like EP, and then we'll be back in a sec.
How can I lose if I'm already chose? Like, if she feeling hot, then I make the pose, and I get a tie every time that I post. The party not lit, then I'd rather not go. If she feeling hot, then I make the pose, and I get a tie every time that I post. Look in the mirror, I'm feeling me. Stacking money with a ceiling. 20 to stand on the couch, run out of town. He feeling me. He like the way that I dress. Throwing Balenciaga flex.
New York Times games make me feel like I'm amazing.
Wordle makes me feel things that I don't feel from anyone else.
The Times crossword puzzle is a companion that I've had longer than anyone outside of my immediate family.
UNKLE? Is that how you spell uncle? No.
You should know how to spell uncle.
Okay.
I started Wordle 194 days ago and I haven't missed a day.
I absolutely love Spelling Bee. I always have to get genius.
I really like words that use few letters but give you a lot of points. Palapa. Falafel.
I've seen you yell at it and say that should be a word.
Totally should be a word.
My proudest crossword achievement is my 4-minute, 54-second Saturday. Crossword heads, you're going to be impressed by that.
When I can finish a hard puzzle without hints, I feel like the smartest person in the world.
When I have to look up a clue to help me, I'm learning something new.
It gives me joy every single day.
Join us and play all New York Times games
at nytimes.com/games.
We're back. Jeffy Haas is here. We're talking Ice Spice. We were just listening to Bikini Bottom. Now, this is one of a handful of Ice Spice songs that I feel like people are really plundering for vocal snippets, right?
Right.
But given the calmness that you referred to earlier and the casualness of the writing, do you think that any sense of self-awareness has crept into the songwriting, like the knowledge that it's going to be broken down for parts, therefore let's make it just a bunch of parts? Because I feel like even when I talked to her about writing, she was like, I'm always thinking of captions, which is like, we think of that associated with Drake, but I don't think Drake in his early years was consciously writing captions. I think later he was consciously writing captions. do we think that Ice Spice is so of this specific cultural moment that she's just like, all I'm doing is captions? Like, that's the rap style.
Yeah. I mean, I think that kind of nails it, right? Where it's like, I don't know if Drake ended up making captions or if captions ended up making themselves around whatever Drake was doing. You know what I mean? Like, I think now if you're, you know, in your 20s, it's like the idea of expressing yourself in a sort of coded or poetic way is just like, oh, that's an IG caption. Like that's just where your head's going. So in a lot of ways, it makes sense that she has this sort of like, and that's, I think, why, you know, Bikini Bottom's a perfect example of a song where it leaked or there was a snippet of it going around on the internet. And then if you really needed to hear it, you could go on YouTube and people would loop the spices together. So that would be like a minute and a half long and you could actually have like somewhat of a listening experience with it. And then you listen to the final version and it's not that far off from that. So I feel like the creative process for her is a lot of just creating these like captions. It's like, is that post fire or not? Like, it's like, I think it's like how the approach works.
Is that post fire? That's a great, it's a great way to put it. Cause I do think if the post is fire, the song's going to be fire.
Exactly. Exactly.
Maybe that's the way that great songs are going to be made in 2023 and 2024. It's not, damn, is some kid on the internet going to figure out which part of the song is good and then use it and cement it as a fire post, which then everybody else will be like, yes, I'm also making a version of that. Maybe it's post first. I mean, look, songwriting happens in a zillion different ways. I respect all creative processes. If you've made it this far into the Ice Spice episode and you're like mad that she doesn't write songs like Bob Dylan, you know, like, I respect that. I also respect that you've made it this far into the Ice Spice episode. But maybe this is just very simply the new process. Like, you're typing it out on your phone and being like, damn, like, this is a great picture. This would be a great line to go with it. Okay, great. Let's build a song around it.
I also would wonder how much of it is that different from the way things kind of already are in a way. Like, you know, you're in the studio making something and there's a moment where it feels like, oh, that's going to be something that people are going to freak out when they hear. You know, I think for artists and for just, you know, everyday people in reality, it's like just having the awareness and sort of, I don't know, the flexibility to be able to have that happen a lot more immediately. You know, I think you used to be able to record a song, be excited about it, let 10 people hear it, stay excited about it, and then see the reaction. Whereas now I think it's like, within a few days of you recording that, it's probably floating around TikTok. Are you ready for that? Like, you know, can that be, how do you integrate that into your actual process? And, you know, Ice Spice is a case study, if anything.
I feel like I get asked in a lot of different contexts, how do we decide what to cover? How do we, like, what are we keeping an eye on? And what should someone do in order to get attention, right? You get these kind of like generic asks, like, why doesn't my thing get attention? Da, 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 da. And what I find myself telling people increasingly is like, number one, if you're doing something that's meaningful, like, enough people will be gravitating towards it, whether they're pop fans or connoisseurs or whatever, like, it'll make its way to me. That's one thing. But really what it is like, if you have a moment like the Munch moment or the No Clarity moment, which led to the Munch moment, you have to be ready to become Ice Spice. Like I said, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, nobody knew who Ice Spice was. And now she literally has a song in the top five of the Billboard Hot 100. She is a hard worker. She capitalized on an opportunity and is continuing to capitalize. And I can only imagine things that are already kind of in the hopper that are going to come out a month, 3 months, 6 months from now. That's how you do it. You don't wait for people like me or you to come to you and say, ah, we want to check in. This is labor. This is work. All of this is hard work. Ice Spice is not presenting as a person who is working hard, quote unquote. That's not like the optics of her character, but you have to be ready to capitalize when you get a break. And this is an incredible example of someone who got a rather lucky, arbitrary break that was predicated upon something she had done creatively and was absolutely ready to like go through the hole and get to the end zone. And sorry, that's said by a person who does not watch football.
That's funny. Go through the hole. But, and, you know, And she also, to her credit, it's like, how many hip hop artists or just, you know, young musicians have we seen in the past 3 years since, you know, the pandemic started, where they had something go up, they had some motion, and then they did something just insane, or something came out about them that was just ridiculous. And it's like, all Ice Spice had to do is just not be an idiot on the internet. You know, it's like, you have this moment, you have a lot of attention on you, you can move correct and like kind of like play the game how you can play it, or you can be one of these kids who gets caught up in XYZ the moment they get like a little bit of money. You know, I think that's a big part of why people have gravitated towards her even more in the sort of like post-Munch moment, is we're so used to seeing people go viral and just get torn apart. Something about her like kind of standing confidently post all of that seems like, oh, she's the real deal.
Like, at what point, if any, will virality turn on her?
I don't know that it does. I think the way, at least in my mind, it works is like, if you take your viral moment and you use it as your entryway into what you're doing, I think it's just like, as long as you don't ask for it in any kind of way, like, you know, Ice Spice can come out with her debut, like proper album in a year, year and a half. And even if it's not like the hottest thing in the world, I don't think people will turn on her as much as it might be like a slow, like, oh yeah, we haven't heard or thought about that in a long time. But I can't imagine a situation where people are like, actually, I don't like Ice Spice. Like, I think we're past that possibility.
That debate is over, yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Also, I think the distinction you were making earlier about, in essence, not someone who is writing songs in hopes of creating virality, but someone who writes songs premised upon the engine that is virality. Like, if that's all you grew up on, like, you know, I don't want to do like a stress test with Ice Spice and be like, what are your 10 most important New York rap records? Like, I'm sure she has them, you know, but it's like, that's not the universe in which she makes music. It's not the universe in which she is successful. And so if the tempo of the current TikTok ecosystem is the thing that shapes her very music writing, then that will always de facto go viral until the system changes, until whatever comes along to replace TikTok and then comes with its own set of rules and its own strictures and its own quirks. But as long as this is the system, I feel like I haven't encountered an artist in any genre, and maybe Pink Panthers is the closest. I haven't really thought about this that much, but I haven't really encountered an artist in any genre who is so well matched in an authentic, original way to this distribution system. And you could say someone like Lil Nas X, but Lil Nas X moved very quickly to, I'm making these kind of like camp pop rap master, quote unquote, masterpiece records, like things that are like so overdetermined. And then he's like, let me shoehorn those back into virality because of my charisma. But that's not what Ice Spice is doing. Ice Spice is just like, I'm still in the house. Like, I'm still in the same house, even with bigger budgets.
Literally. And I think that's like the key distinction, is like the Ice Spice Pink Panthers phenomenon in a lot of ways speaks to a really big disconnect, I think, between average listeners, especially young listeners, and the entire ecosystem in which music exists in 2023. You know, if you're a kid on TikTok, I don't think there's that much a label can do to like get their artist big on TikTok, other than their artist just being a genuinely interesting person with music that people want to listen to, or with a vibe that people will connect with, you know? And I think, you know, you get a lot of people with the attitude of a generation prior, which is like a mix of where I think you see Lil Nas X at, which is, here's how to go viral, and then you use being viral to get more famous. And I think with Ice Spice and with Pink Panthers, it's like, here's me doing my thing. Oh, look, they like it. And like, it's like a different, there's like a subtle shift in how, in the like power dynamic, you know? I think it's like, I'm not under the impression that either of these women care about their fame. Whereas I think a lot of people who really wanted to be famous or presented that way, it's harder to not see that. It's harder to look past that, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, like Lil Nas X to me is like a genuine star in the old mold who happened to go viral and use that as the runway towards an old-fashioned idea of stardom. Whereas there's something about Ice Spice that, even though if we had to, do you guys do like an artist's list, like, or Billboard does like an artist list of like who's currently like the most popular or whatever? Like, I bet Ice Spice is top 10 right now, or top 20.
Oh, yeah.
And she's doing basically exactly the same things that she did 6 months ago. And that feels incredibly modern to me. I don't think it's something that's replicable in the sense that some other person is going to make records in this exact same way and have this exact same kind of success. But it does feel just so specific to this moment. And I think you're right. I think Ice Spice would like to be very famous, but I don't get the sense that she's going to change radically to get there.
Yeah, she doesn't need it. That's kind of the whole vibe, is like, kind of like something as old as time, right? Where it's like you see someone who's cool and it's like, oh, they don't care what you think of them, versus you see someone who really wants you to know that they have like the right like shoes on or whatever. And it's like, I think a lot of like famous people, a lot of celebrities, especially if we want to talk about like the SoundCloud era, it was very much in that direction where it was like, look at how good I'm doing at, or look at how good I am at like presenting cool things to you. Travis Scott, right? Like all of these visions of like youth culture for the past, I'd say like 10 years up to this point, it's been very much about like collecting a set of data points, right? It's like, oh, they're wearing the thing, they have the sound, they're hanging out with the person, they're cool, it's this thing. Now we're seeing this complete dynamic shift where it's like, oh, this person just like, I like their vibe. Like it has nothing to do with anything else than like the individual experience with that thing. And it's powerful. I think it's like a lot of people are going to have a hard time staying relevant. And I think a lot of people who maybe have not been relevant for a long time will probably start to feel more relevant.
Oh, interesting.
Like, dude, I'm thinking about this Danny Brown JPEG Mafia record coming out next week. I have a feeling that's going to be a big album.
Like, just because of how it's going to function in these spaces.
Yeah. Like, Danny Brown's got this big podcast platform. TikTok loves clips of him on that podcast. It's got this, like, unique sound going on. I feel like that's how things are going to go, where it's like, do people actually fuck with you, or do they just feel like they have to fuck with you? Like, that's the separation we're having right now.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody in like the last 3 months who I have felt has been over indexing on TikTok, like more than they really should be. And I think the system flushes that out.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that some of the things that we're being fed aren't being, you know, paid for by marketing folks and micro influencers. And also, you know, like sometimes I get itchy when like I see people getting interviewed on the street about what they're listening to. God. It's very clearly they're being paid $50 to $100 to say that they listen to some song that came out on Empire Records. Like obviously that makes me uncomfortable. I don't like that. And I think I see clearly that that's what's happening. I just don't know if the average person sees clearly, but it sort of makes me, it's a relief to me that when I see those things, you can smell the outlierishness in them on TikTok. Like to be on TikTok so much is to learn how to filter out that noise. Even if the noise does make it to you, you develop a kind of spidey sense about what's real and what's fake. I see so many different kinds of people rapping along to Ice Spice, or, you know, fulfilling Starbucks orders along to Ice Spice or whatever. Like, there's just so many different kinds of folks. It doesn't feel like they're playing a big marketing game. Now, look, someone who works at Capital in digital marketing is probably listening to this and going, LOL, yeah, these guys.
In their lair.
Yeah, like, they don't get it. Like, we've been spending so much money on the digital campaigns, and we paid that Starbucks employee and blah. And you know what? If you did it, if you're that employee,
props to you, man.
Literally, absolutely, you should get a raise. Like, take this snippet of podcast, take it to your boss, and say, I did that. Because you know what? You did that.
I mean, that's like fooling AI, basically.
Really?
But I mean, I think you're right. I don't think there's a Machiavellian project at play. I think obviously, with all of these big institutions, once they, you know, tap into with Ice Spice and it's like now she's on their label or with their distribution or whatever it is, they have an incentive to help. So like, I can't imagine that there aren't things that are helping. But TikTok and I think whatever Instagram is doing with Reels and whatever this new era of like just video streamed for you pages is, it's very much designed to filter out, for people to have their own sort of filtration or whatever, or moderation system, where it's like, there's no amount of pressure you can put on me to believe something. It's like, I have to just believe it.
Right, because there is so much, like, literally, there are, I can always turn it to the next thing.
Yeah,
like,
there's always. Just too much content in the in these feeds for any one piece to have any meaningful impact on how I'm going to feel. It's like, if anything, it's going to trigger something I already think. And that's what I think, you know, we could talk about politics online or whatever, but, like, it's all about, do I feel good or bad about this? How do I want this or do I not want it? And I think, with that being the new sort of metric, or that being the way that things sort of increasingly appear to people, is especially as we talk about, like, AI and stuff, I just feel like it's going to be harder to fake stardom, because you'll just really need to have a presence. You'll have to have the thing that they used to pay, you know, all these record execs millions of dollars for in the 60s, where it's like, I got this act and they're a star. Wait till you see him. You know, it's like, you just have to have that. And I think it'll be cool, because I think a lot more kids have that than we think, you know?
And yes. And also just the very nature of, like, when we say star in quotes, it's just not the same thing as it used to be. Like, it's obviously, like, charisma is charisma across generation, across scenes, across universes. Like, I get that. But also it's like, you don't have to jam new faces into old ideas of what it meant to be a star. Like, yeah. You just sort of receive someone who is truly arriving into a star-like moment and say, ah, this is what stardom looks like now. And with Ice Spice, like, it's the songs, it's the presentation, it's the calmness, it's the fluency in internet culture, it's the styling. Obviously, you know, the hair is very iconic, but also we were talking earlier about the bouncing back and, like, kind of incorporating the negative energy into your presentation. There's a couple things that I noticed early in her career, not simply just men being like, ah, this girl's not good, but also people saying that she wasn't dressing well. And also, like, her first quote unquote show, which I think was, like, a guest appearance at Rolling Loud last year, people being like, this is terrible. And when I asked her about that, she was just like, yeah, you know, but at least they're talking about me and I'll get better. Like, what a healthy way to think about getting dragged on the internet. Like, imagine we had that kind of prescience 10 years ago. Imagine all the stress that would have been saved. Imagine all the therapy that wouldn't have had to have been paid for if people were just like,
the internet's not real.
Yeah, that sucked and it'll go away.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's like, I feel like this new generation that's arriving now, it's very much not taking it that seriously. You know, I think people just a little bit older than Ice Spice's age grew up at a time where you had to take the internet and the things on it so seriously. If you tweeted something, if you were, you know, watched something or whatever. And I think we're watching those rules sort of, like, break apart and people just remove themselves from that idea a little bit more, where it's like, actually, like, it really is not a big deal if some people on the internet are saying shit. Or it's only a big deal if I make it a big deal, you know?
And also, it literally does come and go.
Yes.
Like, even with the style, like, the reason I was thinking about the style was the day I was with her, she was shopping for a video shoot that was supposed to be the Lil TJ video shoot. But then obviously Lil TJ got arrested that day. So it turned into the, I think it was the Inner Mood video shoot. But, like, she was just like, yeah, I'm going to do, like, a 2010s thing. Like, I'm going to get some True Religions. And then, so we were at the True Religion store at some mall in New Jersey, and she was buying Trues, and Raya was buying Trues, and, you know, she showed up to the video with the Trues and, like, BB Simon belts. And it's like, yeah, I just did this. And it's like, it doesn't define me. And then tomorrow I'll be back to the old thing. And then I'll just be back to some other thing. It doesn't feel like some kind of, like, Nicki Minaj, I've got 20 personalities thing. It's literally just like, this is how I woke up feeling. Like, I'm gonna try this. And then, like, I'm gonna go back to the old thing the next day. And then I'll go back to something else. And it's like, genuinely, none of it sticks. And I mean that, like, the best possible way, and also, like, negatively. It's like, none of it sticks. It just, it's how you feel. And that means it'll last as long as she wants it to last.
I think that's a good way into the, just the pace of releases. It's the same way, where we have Munch, and then we got the Bikini Bottom snippet, and then she puts out Bikini Bottom, and then we get the EP with Princess Diana in her mood. She maintained that attention over 6 months by just consistently doing that same action of, like, I'm going to go do some stuff, see if people like it, and then we'll come back tomorrow and drop something else. You know, it's never been too predetermined.
Not at all. Look, if we're still talking about Ice Spice 2 to 3 years from now, my hope is it's on the same terms that we're talking now. And if for whatever reason, if we're not talking about Ice Spice 2 to 3 years from now, I hope it's because she chose to go out her way.
I think she'll do an A24 movie.
That'd be great. I'd love to see it. You know, we'll go back up to Fordham. It'll be great. Like, that's like, we'll go to Munch Park, which by then will actually officially be renamed Munch Park. And we'll do the origin story film. It's going to be incredible. Jeff, always a joy and a pleasure.
Truly.
Listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. Get the t-shirt. It's the podcast.myshopify.com. We're almost out of the black shirts. We got some whites left, but we're running out. So grab the last few shirts. You can subscribe to podcasts anywhere you get your audio content, Apple, Spotify, et cetera, et cetera. Get in the podcast Discord or the Facebook, tinyurl.com/podcast Discord/podcast Facebook. Email us at podcast@nytimes.com. Our producer, as always, is Pedro Rosado from Headstepper Media. We'll be back next week. This is Inner Mood. Going viral is getting them sicker. Like what? Let's keep it a buck. Too boring, I'm stuck in a rut. Lamborghini roaring when I hop at the truck. Pretty like Lauren with a big butt. Yup. Pretty face and a waist all gone. And I'm making them wait, hold on. And I'm making them wait, hold on. Wait, hold on. Like damn, she and her move. 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 She lit.